All right. Well, would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5? And as I said, we're going to be doing a series for these next number of weeks on the Beatitudes. What is a Beatitude? I always thought that was the attitude we should be having, or something like that. It's actually, I looked it up, from the Latin, and it means a state of supreme blessedness, exalted happiness, or bliss. So, I don't know why they had to bring Latin in on it, but they did. And that's where we are this morning. This morning I'd like to do a bit of an overview on the Beatitudes with you. And then we're going to go through them one week at a time, starting next week. So let's do this together. Shall we read the Beatitudes? And I've got them all on one version here on the screen. I welcome your Bibles and your other versions open, but let's read these together. And out of deference to God's Word, let's stand together, please. Reading together. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come to these words that you spoke on the side of that mountain. And we ask you to speak now down through the ages into our hearts with the same punch that you had that day. The crowds, they said, were amazed at your teaching. Would you share some of that with us this morning so that we'll be amazed, not at anybody here, especially not me, but at you and what you had to say. And would you help us, Lord? Help us, we pray. We're asking it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, each of these Beatitudes, each of these starts with the word blessed. And I thought that this morning we would focus on that word blessed. That's an interesting word, isn't it? The Hebrew word for bless is Barak. Did you know that? Our president's first name is related to that word. Some of the other languages are similar. But it means to be praised or adored or bowed before. That's kind of the active meaning. I bless God, like we sang, bless the Lord, O my soul. I praise you, I adore you, I bow before. But it has a passive sense, to be blessed, and that's to be, in the Hebrew, prospered by God. The Greek uses a couple of different words, but they have this word for blessed, and it is more narrow, and it is that state of divine favor or approval or well-being, a condition, if you use it in a non-religious sense, of transcendent happiness and joy. In other words, the transcendent means it goes beyond what's immediately going on. It transcends the here and now. It's a transcendent state or condition of happiness and joy. And it means being truly, deeply, overall fortunate. Okay? Now, the Greek word, the Greek language uses the word bless, like Jesus took the little children and he put them in his lap and he blessed them. But that's a different word, and from that word we get the word eulogy, to speak well of or praise. So when the Hebrew says, you can say, I bless the Lord, O my soul, like we sang and like Psalm 104, that's the same word, and it's either an active sense or a passive. And the passive sense is what we're talking about today, to be prospered by God. But the Greek said, you know what, why don't we just give it two different words? So they chose this word that we get the word eulogize from, to speak well of or adore or praise, for the more active sense of the Hebrew. And then they chose this other word, a condition or a state of blessing, for the word Jesus used here in these Beatitudes. So obviously we're going to focus in on that, the second one, the condition of being blessed, or whatever, divine favor. I would like to ask you to help me in English. Do we do it like the Hebrew language or the Greek language? Or let's go at it from this angle. How do we, in this present day and age, use the word blessed? What are some examples? Okay, so use it in, that's great. Give me some sentences. How do people use that word in a sentence? You're blessed with a lot of children. What were you saying?
Blessed to have a job.
Okay, what else?
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Oh boy, Betsy pulled one out of there for me. I didn't anticipate that one. Bletsy. What else? God bless you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What else? Have a blessed day. You hear that? People say that on the answering machine or whatever. Okay. Any others? How about when you sit down for the meal? You say the blessing. What is the blessing? Are we blessing this bread or what? Okay, that's another way we use it. You might notice that I sign most of my birthday and anniversary cards to you, blessings. What do I mean by that? Or at my e-news articles, blessings. Okay, what do we mean by all of that?
I've heard it's kind of a negative word.
How's that?
When the thing won't start, that blessing thing won't.
Okay. I didn't anticipate that either, Lou.
And say,
I'm going to bless him out. Do you know, I looked it up in the dictionary course, and there is that very usage that Lou and Jerry are talking about, and it actually means to curse. And I thought, what have we come to in our language that we would use bless in that sense? But guess what? The Hebrew language has that too. I thought, well, okay, we're not the first idiots out there. All right, very good. So then, we're going to take all that we've said so far, the Hebrew and the Greek that I gave you up there, and our usage of this, have a blessed day, or, the things we've said, leaving Lou out and Betsy out, and the bless you after you sneeze, maybe. What do you think it means when we say, she is blessed? Or what would you understand it when Jesus said, blessed are you? What do you think that word, let's try to come up with a definition for blessed in that sense. What would you say? Okay, Lou's got a question. Okay.
And I think then when you ask what Jesus meant, I think it's more of this transcendental part, this
transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's use that. Lou's saying, hey, there could be temporal or there could be
eternal.
Yeah.
Or spiritual.
Okay. Temporal or spiritual What? Fill in the blank. That's what we really want to get to. It could be a temporal thing or it could be a spiritual
favor.
Gift. What? Prospering. Is that right?
Prospered by God.
Okay, so that would incline toward the more the spiritual side. Prospered, well, or would it?
No, I don't think so. I take that to cover both.
Ah, so God reaches.
I think when somebody says, have a blessed day, they're trying to be more spiritual than have a good day.
Ah.
They're trying to say, it'll be God's doing.
Oh, okay. So you're saying God doesn't just bless in the spiritual realm, he reaches down into the temporal realm as well and does his favoring or his prospering. Okay, what do y'all think so far? The doctor is in. Okay, I like that. What else? Good point.
Prosperity. I think we key into the prosperity.
Uh-huh. That word prosperity kind of gets a little heavy sometimes, and we think, okay, and you had an idea?
Well, some people say I'm lucky, and then they will correct them and say, no, you're not lucky, you're blessed.
Aletheia says, some people say I'm lucky. I mean, I'm blessed, okay? And what they mean by that is it wasn't just fate or chance, God had a hand in this. That's what they mean. Very good. What about the rest of you? Anybody else? Okay. Well, I took the risk of coming up with what I think is a continuum of the way we use it. At the one end is, I'm happy. And then, can you read that? Things... A little more substantive is things are going well. And then a little more substance than that is I'm contented, I'm joyful, or he is or she is blessed, they're contented, they're joyful. And then we get a little stronger and we say, no, they're favored, you know, not lucky, but favored. And then if we go really what I think the usage in the Bible here is, no, they're divinely prospered. They're divinely endorsed. This is bigger than just your bank account is full. This is God is behind you. He has preferred you. It's evident that he's preferred you and he has benefited you. Do you see that? So, some people say, have a blessed day, and you're not even sure if they have a relationship with God, and they're just using that word. Others, like Lindsay said, no, they really mean to say something specific. They want you to know, they want God to be favoring you today. So, of course, it's depending on how the person uses it. But in the terms that I believe Jesus was using this, in the strictest sense of the word, I think we're all the way over here on the right. Jesus said, blessed are you when, I think he was saying, divinely prospered are you, divinely endorsed are you, divinely preferred, divinely benefited. God has his hand in what's going on in your life when you... And that's how he starts, with that word, blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but I always thought blessed and blessed were two different words. But what is it? Where did we get blessed from? Because we need another syllable in our poetry or our songs? You have to study that one some more on your own. All right, let me share with you how various translations or versions of the Bible have wrestled with it. Almost all of your more trusted, solid translations go with blessed, partly probably to avoid getting put up on somebody's screen on a Sunday morning. But there are a few out of there who just said, you know, blessed is so... you know, it's got either baggage or it doesn't say all that it needs to say. So some of them have gone with happy. Somebody didn't like that, so he said, no, truly happy. Another one said, full of life joy. Another one said, spiritually prosperous. And then other people probably said, wait a minute, it's not just spiritually prosperous, it's temporally prosperous because God, you know. And then another one said, satisfied in God's favor. Boy, this word has a lot to it, doesn't it? And, you know, what I'm not prepared to do is nail down any one of them, because I think what we need to do is realize that the word blessed encompasses all of these things that we've been talking about, especially when God is the one doing it. God is the one who is favoring you. You are God-favored, and it does reach into every facet, every corner of your life, so that you can have that transcendent sense of happiness or joy, that life joy, spiritually, but also spiritually prosperous, but also prospering in your temporal being. Although here we get into, well, what is prosperous? And I only have one car and it only works on 3 out of the 7 days, you know, that kind of thing. Is that okay? Satisfied in God's, you get the idea. Okay, so there's how the Bible translations have worked with it. Let me, yeah, Lou? Right. Now, this list is just what people have translated that word in. But are you thinking of that list there on the right-hand side? Divinely prospered? Yeah. Endorsed? Preferred? Benefited? Okay. Jerry thinks to knows what you're thinking.
We sometimes say it was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah. And the song we sang this morning... Blessed be your name has in there, you give and you take away. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, so, all right. Well, I thought it might be helpful to review how the Bible uses this word blessed. And here we're spanning the Old and the New Testament. And as I said, the Old Testament uses it slightly more broadly than the New Testament. But here is where a greater pronounces a blessing on the lesser. God blessed Adam and the man and the woman. He said, be fruitful and multiply. That's a blessing from the greater to the lesser. But the lesser pronounces blessings on the greater, and we did that this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Okay? A person might invoke God's blessing on another person. Bless Ken, Lord. Prosper him today. Show him your favor. Or we might gather around a person and that one we'll come to a little bit later. And again, it's a condition of divine favor. And then the Bible tells us that a person's action can result in God's favor. Wait a minute, that sounds like works, doesn't it? Well, God said to Abraham, in you all the nations will be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So there was something dependent there. God told the nation, you shall give generously to the poor man, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your undertakings. though God is going to bless because they were generous to the poor. James, New Testament, says, the one who looks intently at God's law and abides by it, this one shall be blessed in what he does. So there's this sense that blessing can be as a result of our actions, obedient actions. There's another way that the word blessed is used. It's a reverential title for God. He is the blessed one, the blessed and only sovereign. Are you the son of the blessed one? They asked Jesus, referring to the Old Testament. And finally, an act of consecrating someone or something. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath, a day of the week. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Therefore, God has blessed you, capital Y. Therefore, God has blessed you forever, O Mighty One, also capitalized. Who is that referring to? The Messiah. It's a messianic psalm. So, it's an act of consecrating something or someone, whether it's a day of the week or an offering or a place or somebody, or that is more the sense when we have, when we gather someone up here and we're commissioning them to service and we lay our hands on them. It's not that we possess any holiness to commute to them through our hands, but we are consecrating them for a particular ministry. And so we say, the Lord, we bless this person in the name of the Lord, and we invite you, God, to bless them as they go into this new work. So these are the usages, and I'm sure there, I could have missed some. You know, I thought we were going to have a one Sunday overview, and I got into this thing, and oh my goodness. I mean, how many books are there on the Beatitudes anyway? And then this one word, blessed, and anyway. So I'm trying to do a little higher altitude flyover this morning as a result of all of that. Okay, so trying not to make it too academic either. But let's talk about, back in our Matthew 5 now, let's talk about the sentence structure of these Beatitudes. The sentence structure, that sounds way too academic, doesn't it? I thought I left that behind in eighth grade. Jesus said, blessed, so there's this state or this condition of blessedness. Blessed are you, so it's something that belongs to you. When does this state of blessedness happens? Blessed are you who fill in the blank. What is that fill in the blank? When you do something or when you are something. So this state of blessedness occurs. It belongs to those who fill in the blank. And then he comes back to this state of blessedness and explains it. Does that make sense? Not really, does it? How about that? It's really, what it really is an if-then statement. You remember those? If you behave, then you'll be given dessert. And he turns it around backwards, and he might say it this way: rewarded are you who behave, you will be given dessert. You got that? Okay, there's a few more if-thens that I thought you'd enjoy. If you skydive without a parachute, then you'll have a really bad day. If you lie down with dogs, then you'll wake up with fleas. Okay, so that's it. But Jesus spun it around, and he said, rewarded are you who behave, using this structure format, you will be given dessert. Why did he do that? Well, Jesus was the master of communication and the master of taking things we've said and thought for our whole lives and turning it just a little bit to make it capture our attention and capture our memory. But you know what? It's more than just an if-then statement. It's if-then with an explanation. So what do I mean by that? If you behave, then you'll be given dessert. Cream cheese brownies a la mode. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's how that might look. Rewarded are you who behave. You will be given dessert. Cream cheese brownies a la mode. Right? You see? You with me? So then we might spell it out this way. You're divinely favored if you're merciful. Oh, really? How so? You will receive mercy. You see that? You follow that? So it's if then with an explanation, but then he turns it around to put the condition of blessing or the state of blessing first. And I think it's just brilliant that he has done this. So said another way, we could say that it starts with the result or the reward or this state of blessedness, and that comes from what? I spelled condition wrong, didn't I? Comes from either doing or being. You look down the list. You're merciful, you're a peacemaker, you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you're being persecuted, all of these things, you're choosing to either do or to be, and a result of that condition, therefore, is this state of blessedness, state of divine favor, state of God's wanting to prosper and be on your side and endorse you. Ah, does that turn any light bulbs on for you? And then he says, let me tell you about that reward. Let me tell you a little bit more about that state of blessedness. Is that ringing any bells for you? Let's look at them again. Verse 3, blessed, divinely favored, I'm going to substitute that right now. Divinely favored are the ones who are poor in spirit. Whatever that means, that's next week. But you could say, he could have said it the way we would normally say it. If you're poor in spirit, you're blessed. You're divinely favored. And then we'd say, oh, really? Well, just so I know whether I want to be poor in spirit, how exactly will I be divinely favored? Oh, I'll tell you how you'll be divinely favored. You'll receive the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Ah, does that make sense? So let's look at the next one. Divinely favored are those who mourn. If you mourn, you'll be divinely favored. Really? How is that? Well, you'll be divinely favored because you'll be comforted. Does that make sense? Divinely favored are those who are gentle. How are the gentle exactly divinely favored? Oh, that's easy. They're going to inherit the earth. Wow. So, what do we see then? We see that there's a couple of things. There's this condition for this divine favor. And where does the condition fall? Well, the condition falls on something that we either do or are. We're either being merciful or we're either being persecuted. We're choosing to be peacemakers. We're choosing to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We are doing those things, being those things. And that condition met brings the divine favor, the reward, the result. But he doesn't just leave it there. He knew we would want to know a little bit more about what that divine favor is. Explain that to me. Oh, you want to know what I mean by divinely favored? When you are gentle, when you are merciful, when you're hungering and thirsting, I'll tell you. If you're pure in heart, you're going to see God. So, what do you think of that? What I think that means is this. I used to and maybe you do this too. I'd go down that list. Blessed are those who are gentle. Ooh. You know, that's I wasn't really gifted with that. So let's go on to the next verse. Blessed are those who are merciful. Oh, well, that's really not my personality. Couldn't get that blessing either. How about the next one? Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, I'd really rather fight than make peace, so I didn't get that blessing either. And I come to the end of the list and, you know, read them again. Let's read them one more time. And I come to the end and I go, well, not doing so well here, you know. Guess I missed out on all this blessing, all this divine favor that God, Jesus said God wants to give to me. But I look at my sister and she's got all these stars by her name and I'm coming up short, you know, and the next person. And is that what Jesus was saying? He was saying, Paul, I'm going to let you know that you haven't got too many stars by your name, and your sister, she really does, and it's kind of that way, and you weren't born with that. That is not at all what Jesus was saying. He was saying in a beautiful, poetic way, here's Paul, here's how you can have stars by your name. Because I'm putting the conditions right here. It's called pure in heart. It's called hungering and thirsting. It's called being a peacemaker. And all of these things, yes siree, stars by your name, divinely favored. Right here, see this big check mark? See this nice red sparkly star? And he did that so that I could know how I should live in my sphere, in my days, so that I could be in this condition of divinely favored. What do you think of that? Does that sound right to you? Was he just saying, I'm going to give you guys a list, and as soon as I get done with that list, we'll go on to the next topic in my sermon. You know, I've got a lot to talk about up here on this mountain. I just want you all to know who's blessed and who's not, okay? Not at all. Like everything else Jesus was saying, he was appealing to our volition, to our choices, to how we would live our lives. And he wanted you to know that you have something to do with whether or not the divine favor, God's prospering, God's endorsing of you, whether there's a star by your name in this, right? You with me? I'm not sure. You guys aren't really nodding too much. I think you think I've lost it or something. I'm not sure. All right. He wasn't doing this as a checklist. He spoke these words because he wanted, get this now, he didn't just tell you this so you could know if you're blessed. He spoke this so that he wanted you to be blessed. He wanted you put your name in there. He wanted you to be divinely favored by God. This is the Son of God now, the one who's on his way to the cross. He wants you, Jordan, to be the one that God is just so ecstatic about. That's only Abraham he did that kind of thing with, right? No. He said, Jordan, Sam, put your name in there, Russ. Jesus wanted you, each one of us, to be divinely favored. Put all those beautiful words, prospered and on your side and all of those things by your... That was Jesus' heart for you. And he said, and I'm going to tell you how those things can be reality in your life. Here it is. Here's another one. One after the other. All right? Now, I'm going to ask a question, but I'm not going to answer it. Beatitudes something for this present time? As Lou was mentioning earlier, is this a temporal thing? Or is it a spiritual thing? Is it a now thing or a future thing? Is it a... or both? Okay, that's something for you to think about for these next number of weeks, okay? And then I want to close with this. A fivefold challenge. Okay, we're going into a series. We're going to do one of these a week, and I want to challenge you. Okay, and there are five verbs, all right? Be worth writing these down. The first verb is memorize. memorize the Beatitudes, these blessed words, okay? Not looking at your Bible. What's the first one? And the preacher who's preaching on this is not allowed to speak. What's the first one? Poor in spirit. If you spoke already, you may not speak anymore. What's the second one? What's the third one? Is it safe to say that we need to learn these? Let's memorize these, okay? Make that say, you know, if nothing else happens this summer, I am going to memorize the Beatitudes, all right? if you're like me, old dogs don't learn new tricks very well. So here we go. Paul makes good hamburgers, mashed potatoes, pickles, peaches, and ice cream, okay? Let's work with it. Blessed are those who are, first one, poor in spirit. Next one, blessed are those who mourn. Next one, blessed are those who gentle. Next one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Next one, blessed are those who merciful. Next one, blessed are the potatoes. Blessed are the pure in heart. Got three P's in a row. Blessed are the peacemakers. Next one, blessed are those who are persecuted. And the last one is sort of an expounding, but a little bit different. Insulted for my sake. I just went with the I. Okay? Paul makes good hamburgers, mashed potatoes, pickles, peaches, and ice cream. All the food groups you need, okay? Well, I can't really make any of that, but I just needed something. You want to put somebody else's name in there, that's fine with me. And I don't know if pickles and peaches and ice cream go together anyway. There may be a better word. Say it with me. Paul makes good hamburgers, mashed potatoes, pickles, peaches, and ice cream. You got it. One more time. Paul makes good hamburgers, mashed potatoes, pickles, peaches, and ice cream. Tim's still struggling with it over here. He can't believe we're saying something like that in worship on Sunday morning. First one is memorize. You got it already, but I'm saying memorize. I want you to work on that. Get them in the right order, but if the hamburger thing will help you, by all means. Ask. What are we going to ask? I want you to ask, Lord, what are you trying to say to me through this series? Now, if you've been a follower of Christ for any length of time, you've been over these Beatitudes so many times that it's like, yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And what's in the next paragraph? And you just keep going, and it just kind of is a little fuzzy, and no. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? What do you want to talk to me about in these few verses, these states of blessed favor? What do you want to talk to me about? And what I mean now is not just say that sentence and keep moving, but that means you're saying things like, I intend to listen to what you're saying, Lord. I am going to listen. And, you know, if Paul or one of the other preachers is boring, I'm going to listen anyway to what you're saying, Lord. Please, I really want to hear what you're saying. And it means something else. It means I am going to study these. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to be reading these in between the Sundays. I'm going to be asking you to show me what I need to know. And it means one more thing. It means when you're gone, like I will be next weekend, you're gonna get online and you're gonna listen. Dad's speaking next week, so I'm gonna get online and I'm gonna listen to his talk on poor in spirit. Okay? So ask, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? And if you're gonna ask, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? You do your part too. You listen, you get online, you do some more reading, you study it, you pray over it, okay? Lord, what are you trying to say? Okay, that's the second one. Ask. And then purpose to be moldable. Picture a piece of clay, a lump of clay on the potter's wheel. Lord, I purpose to be moldable to the image that you are trying to shape me into. He's wanting to talk to you about things like gentleness. He's wanting to talk to you about what drives you, your hungering and your thirsting. He's wanting to talk to you about fighting and peacemaking and that sort of thing. Purpose to be moldable. Not say, I just wasn't born that way. That's just not in my gift mix. That's not how my personality is. No. Purpose. Why did Jesus give these? Just because he didn't have anything better to say? So that we could say, sorry, that's not me. That's not why he gave those. Purpose to be conformable, moldable. Let him do what he wants to do. Okay? Next one is realize. Realize that this condition of blessing or divine favor is the result of a choice on your part. If you are merciful, you'll be divinely favored. What's that divine favor? You'll receive mercy. Who doesn't want to receive mercy? Nobody I know of. If you are merciful, you'll be divinely favored. The if you're going to be merciful means I have to be merciful. But wait a minute, I wasn't born that way. Right. That's why we're talking about this. Because none of us were born that way, really, when it's all come down. So realize that that condition of blessed divine favor is a result of a choice. It's an act of volition, something that I have to say, yeah, I wasn't born that way, but I'm going to act this way. Okay? And the fifth one is position. Position yourself for divine blessing and favor by doing that which Jesus commends. So that's sort of the other side. First, you got to realize that that means I got to make an act, make a choice, take an act, and then position yourself for that divine favor by acting on it, by doing, by being. I'm going to identify with Christ at work right now. That is some nasty stuff going on right there, and I'm going to identify with Christ right now, and it might mean I'll be insulted. It might mean I'll be persecuted. That's not what I want to do, but I'm going to do it. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'd really rather watch TV right now. I'd really rather fill in the blank. No, Lord. I'm going to take action. I'm going to choose. Okay? I choose to be gentle. With that kid that's... Sorry, Lord. I choose to be gentle. Right now. Wow. Tall order, huh? But Jesus said, tell you what, if you don't have anything better to do for the next few weeks this summer, here's some thoughts. That's not what he said. He laid this out saying, here's divine favor. And I would love for you to be the recipients of divine favor. It's based on this condition. And if you'll do these things, you will be the recipients of divine favor. You want to know what that divine favor is? It looks like this. And that's the pattern he goes through. And he wants that for you. Put your name in there. He wants God's divine favor to just abound on you. Pretty cool, huh? Let's stand together, shall we? Lord, I pray for myself and my friends here that we would have something of a change in our hearts. That we wouldn't see this as grind or as work or as duty, but we would see this as your desire to heap this favor, this indulgent generosity on us, and that we would step right into what you have offered to us. Would you help us? Would you help us with the want to? Would you help us with the doing it? And would you help us with the response and the right heart attitude and all the ways you know we need help? Help us with our memories. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.